Don Jackson Blattner joins us now on Thursdays, and here it is Thursday, and I thought, oh, we should be talking about soup, and she said, no, she can't. What's the matter with you, Don? People love soup.
I really could not believe you brought that up today. I was flabbergasted. I looked at the calendar. I said, okay, John, he wants to talk about soup, but it's not fall for another 2 weeks. What is he doing? Is he rushing summer? Could that be what he's doing?
I love me some soup, and it got a little cooler, and Brenda and I were talking about it, and I said, wow, I'll bet Don has great soup ideas. Only you would find this controversial.
Well, I will, you know, in your honor of talking about soup, I will definitely help with some ideas. But for the record, I would like to say I really encourage soup on September 22nd and beyond, the official first day of fall, because I really feel like soup is more like a fall-winter food.
When does soup season start? September 22nd or the day of the first Bears game?
Oh, okay. Thank you. This is where it is touchy for me. This is very tricky because my husband and I, every single Bears game, we do make soup. And these first Bears games that are right before the first of fall, we're really torn. So, I mean, I'm looking to you, maybe. What do you think?
I can't help you. No, this is above my pay grade.
You can't help.
You'll have to figure it out. Well, all right, let's do this because there's some other things you've got for us that I think are even better than what I have in mind. So let's do soup in a couple of weeks. And let's talk about...
I have great notes on soup, so I'll save those for when we talk about it 2 weeks from now.
Sure, and if you wanted to sprinkle a couple of little ideas here, fine. But, I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time on recipes because I'm so intrigued by this Tufts food ranking. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, okay. So Tufts has something called Food Compass, and it is research putting 8,000-plus foods together and saying, how do we know what's healthy here, man? And so they have this algorithm that basically is starting to assign values to each and every one of these 8,000-plus foods to guide us on, hey, what do we think is actually healthy at 100, 100% versus like the one food, the foods that have one where we don't want to eat very many of. I love it. I think it's a great start because, you know, you go to the grocery store, there's thousands of foods. People are confused about, like, what actually is healthy and what's not. So programs like this can be helpful to sort of gear people in the right direction. But it really is too soon for prime time because right now there's really no app and there's really no list of these 8,000 foods that's accessible to the whole public. But I have connections here. I talked to the researchers. And asked Tufts, and I said, hey, you know what? Can you give me some of these 8,000 foods? They gave me the list, and I can tell you I have some big takeaways from this list that, you know, even though we can't get the whole list, for the general public, I definitely can give us takeaways.
Okay, so let's pause here. Hold on. I'm going to pause right here and then come back. You might want to get a number two pencil and a clean sheet of paper. You'll want to write some of these down. Some of these foods, I see a list, too. Maybe this is what you're about to share with us. But I just think the rankings or positions of some of these is very surprising. It will encourage and discourage you. Don Jackson Blattner is the author of several books on dieting. She's the author of Flexitarian Diet and The Superfood Swap. She is a dietitian and nutritionist and found this list at Tufts University where they rank the nutritional value of food. They say a food above 70, they encourage you to eat. A food between 70 and 30, you should eat moderately. Below 30, you should eat as little of it as possible. So what's on the list, Dawn?
Okay, so let me preface this. This is a great start. This list is not perfect. Okay. I looked at the list of the 8,000 foods, and there's a lot of things we can learn, and there's a lot of things that can be confusing. So, for example, I'll give you the confusing stuff first, and then I'll clear everything up. Okay. So, let's say I'm looking at this list, and I go, oh my gosh, look, you know, I have sweet potato chips here, and they're at a 68. And then I say, okay, chips, you know, I get it. You know, 100 is the best, and 1 is the worst. 68, you know, somewhere in the middle. Okay, sweet potato chips. But then I see what underneath with a lower score than chips is a chicken breast that's grilled without skin. It is at 57, where the chips were at 68. What the heck is going on here? So that's where this list becomes a little tricky, is that if you start ranking all of the foods next to each other, it is not as helpful as if you actually look at the list by food groups and you start seeing, oh my gosh, I get it now. If you go into, for example, like the protein group, you see the best on there is salmon. And I think nobody would argue with that, right? A piece of broiled salmon we know has good omega-3 fats. It's great. That chicken breast is lower than the salmon, but it's still higher on the list. And the worst things on that list should be no surprise to us. Things like hot dogs and salami rating in at like 3 and 18, very low on the list because those are processed meats. So this list, if you compare all the food groups together, becomes very confusing. But if what you use it for is to start seeing this pattern of, you know, what is the best in the whole grain group? What is the best in the protein group?
I did notice that skinless chicken breast grilled is a 57. Sweet potato chips are a 68. And then I thought, well, sweet potato is what's driving the chip there. But what? But if they give a 57 point value to a grilled chicken breast, what do they give to salmon, which you said was on the top of the protein list?
Okay, let's see. So I have this list right in front of me. Salmon got a 95 that is broiled plain by itself. The biggest thing, you know, people can say, oh my gosh, you know, I want to use this list of 8,000 foods and help me pick everything.
Yep.
But in the end, it shakes out to one main theme.
Which is?
You ready for it?
Yes.
That was a cliffhanger. Did you like that? It was a cliffhanger. So the one main takeaway is the low scores are always the processed foods that have white flour, white sugar, preservatives, and artificial colors, flavors. And I have an acronym for this to remind us. It's called CRAP. CRAP.
Yeah.
You like that. You like that. When you read ingredients on your labels of bread, of, you know, anything that's a label in the grocery store, you look to watch out for in the ingredient list, CRAP. You're trying to decrease CRAP. C stands for chemicals you don't use in your kitchen. You just don't know what those words are. R stands for refined sugar and flour, the white stuff. If it has white stuff in there, it's likely processed and not going to be high on this list. A, artificial, sweeteners, flavors, colors, all those artificial things. And P stands for preservative. So that is what we're finding in this list, that the more CRAP in this food, mm-hmm. the lower it's starting to rank here. One of the interesting things I think might be really shocking to people, and it's probably the most confusing thing in nutrition, is in the grain family. And so when you look at grains, very high on the list, for an example, is quinoa at 73 quinoa. We know this is a whole grain. It's higher in protein. It's great for us, 73. When you look at lower on the list, this is where people have to think about, huh, pita is on there, rolls are on there, pancakes are on there. These things are usually made with white flour. And so like a pita and white rolls for, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers, those are at 1, 2, 3, 5, like very, very, very low on this list. So this list is, again, encouraging us all to choose more of these whole grains as opposed to the white refined flour grains that are scoring very low on this list.
You usually remind us the word whole is so important when you're buying bread or buns or something like that, whole wheat. I just want to click off some of them on the list. Raspberries, 100. Vegetable curry on a scale of 0 to 100. Nutritional value, higher the number, the better. Vegetable curry, 100. Almonds salted, 90. I'm pleased to see that. Tuna salad with light mayonnaise, 81. Coffee, cappuccino, non-fat, 69. Sweet potato chips, you said, 68. Chicken breast, 57. Turkey or chicken burger, condiments on a whole wheat bun. So a turkey or chicken burger with condiments, whole wheat bun, 47, which falls in the eat moderately. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich is a 32. It's almost on a void. I was sorry to hear that.
Well, hey, listen, there's things, the good news about this list is there are things you can do to every one of these lower ranking combinations to make them better for you. So let's take that, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It could, and white bread. It could get a higher ranking if you use whole grain bread.
Oh, yeah.
It could get a higher ranking if you swap the jelly for some sliced fruits, because as you mentioned at the very top, all fruits and vegetables that are raw got that 100 score. When you look across, like, who's getting this 100? It's all your fruits and vegetables. It's like, can you eat more of them? Please do. They are scoring, you know, the best on this list and every list. And, you know, what's cool, too, is, like, when you're looking at the fruits and vegetables, the more processed they are, the lower their score. So, like, one of the examples pulled out in this huge list is cherries. You know, they're 100, you get 100, right? They are perfect. They are at ranked top. Once you dry them and potentially add some sweetener to them, they become a 55, you know, instead of that 100 when they're fresh. And then if you have the, you know, the cocktail cherries that are in that syrupy liquid, they become a 26. So you can see that, you know, it's not just a specific food that's good or bad. It's what was done to that food.
Okay.
And so, you know.
Let me ask you about this sandwich. A wheat bread, peanut butter, with just a just a wisp of strawberry preserve.
I love it. It would score higher than what's currently there because you're upgrading your white bread to whole grain bread. If you put some fruit on there, it would get some extra scores because then you'd be adding some vitamin C and some fiber.
I'm not putting fruit on a peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, hey, guess what? I think that this is another controversy we've unveiled today, because I'll tell you what. There is nothing better than like a peanut butter sandwich with fresh banana or like fresh strawberry. Come
Ooh,
on.
I do like
I think your listeners would agree with me.
Yeah, I don't care. But you know what?
I don't
actually
care.
Well, hey, listen, I got to go. Here's the last question, though. Speaking of processed foods, you always say don't eat the processed meat and salami and hot dog. Hot dogs get a 3. Salami gets an 18. And I always thought it was because it's packaged, God bless Oscar Mayer, but if you see the bologna or ham in there and you think, oh, that's processed, salty, that's bad for you. But what if then I go to the deli and I just say, slice me some fresh ham or turkey? Is that still, quote unquote, processed meat, or is that better?
Yes, that's still processed meat. It would rank in the middle, so it's not going to be, you know, toward the very, very end like a hot dog. It's going to rank in the middle, but you're going to always get better credit if you were going to do something like canned salmon with no additives or leftover grilled chicken from the night before that you slice and put on your sandwich.
All right, Dawn, in a couple of weeks we'll talk soup, and maybe next week we'll talk more about this list. It's fascinating stuff. Can people find this full list online yet?
No, I had to talk to the researchers to get the full 8,000 foods on there. But if you do go to tufts.edu, their website, there is some extra data broken down, so you can see probably close to 50 foods there.
Tufts.edu, Tufts University. Okay, we'll visit again next week. Thank you, Dawn.
Sounds good. Thanks. Bye.
Dawn Jackson-Blattner is the author and registered dietitian and nutritionist, DawnJacksonBlattner.com. You can follow her on Instagram, by the way, at DJ Blattner.